Hi, thanks for listening. My name is Stephen Burt, and I'm an associate professor of English here at Harvard, and I'm happy to turn up on the poetry site. And today, I want to talk about one of the mid-career contemporary American poets whose work I've been following with great interest. It's a poet called Laura Kaschisky, K-A-S-I-S-C-H-K-E. She has some reputation now as a novelist. One of her novels has been made into a film with, I believe, Uma Thurman in it, and a very well-deserved reputation as a crafter of novels for young adults. I believe her second young adult book is out now. She has in her poems, which are what I prefer and what I find myself coming back to and back to, a sense of storytelling and a sense of how our lives are stories, how our lives become, collapse into, fold up into the stories that we tell each other, that we tell ourselves about them, how those stories are and are not like the stories we want to read, how those stories have loose ends, how those stories frustrate us as we try to make sense of them and as they go on. And in that sense that poems are and are not like stories, that poems are and are not like the speeches we give and the conversations we have, that poems are and are not like spoken language in which we tell stories, Kaschisky learns from and draws on one of my favorite mid-century American poets, Randall Jarrell, whom she sometimes quotes in her own work. In her subjects also, she draws on Jarrell, but she also draws on ways of thinking about the suburbs, ways of thinking about teens, ways of thinking about domesticity and marriage and motherhood that were just beginning to become available when Jarrell's career ended, when Jarrell passed away in the 60s, and that were available to Kaschisky in the 80s and 90s and the 2000s, the decade we live in now, when she wrote all of her poetry. Kaschisky grew up in western Michigan around Grand Rapids and has spent a lot of her adult life in eastern Michigan. She now teaches at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. She's interested in Midwesternness, in the forms of unmarked, as it were, Americanness, ways of speaking, ways of driving cars, ways of wearing clothes, ways of living in houses that we take as normal, many of us who grew up in the United States, that go without comment, but that actually can be made strange and disturbing and beautiful if they're presented assiduously and carefully enough. She's interested in the ways that our youth, our memory of youth, our notions of youth seem chaotic and wild and exciting in memory and as we are living them. And she's interested in how when we become parents, if we become parents, when we become middle-aged, if we become middle-aged, we look back on our experience of youth and we say, not what was that all about, not I don't understand that, but rather, how is it, how can it be that I am and am not the person who drove too fast, who stayed out all night, who endangered herself and others? Why am I like and unlike that person I was 20 years ago? And so her poems, her best poems, are almost always either poems of American adolescence or poems of motherhood, poems about being a grown-up with a responsibility for her own young one who was a son. And when she began to be the poet who interests me, these were poems that did seem to have a basis either in her autobiography, either in her life or in the lives of fictive modern characters. They were poems animated not just by her introspection, by her sense of storytelling, but also by her very unusual line. She's one of a number of people of her own generation, Jory Graham is another, who have done something really odd, really new with free verse, with the heavily enjambed free verse line. One of the things that Kaschisky does with that line is she plugs rhyme into it. Frequent rhyme, exact rhyme, rhyme that gives the story she tells and the memories she goes through stopping points, points of apparent completion that play against the unfolding incomplete stories within the poems. And when she did this first, as I said, she seemed to have a basis in autobiography or in what we might call realist fiction. There were realistically imagined lives. What Kaczynski has started to do with those techniques now as well is to write allegorically, to write about people, figures, contemporary American figures who are representative in some way. Her latest book of poetry is called Lilies Without, and it has a series of poems called Miss This and Miss That, almost as if they were contestants in an allegorical pageant like Miss America. There is a poem called Miss Congeniality, and a poem called Miss January, and a poem called Miss Brevity, and a poem called Miss Consolation for Emotional Damages, which is both as funny as it sounds and much more serious than it seems. This is a book and a poem with a great deal of mortality in it. I'm going to read you another one of these allegorical persona poems, and it's called Miss Weariness. Miss Weariness by Laura Kaczynski from her book Lilies Without. Miss Weariness. At first, she looked like all the other girls, but then the chipped fingernail, and then she sat down in a folding chair and let the other girls pass by in their ball gowns, in their bathing suits, in their beatific smiles, but she had tossed her heels aside. Enough of industry, enough of goals and troubles, looking ahead, grooming and dreaming and anything that ended in ing in this life ever again, she said. Oh, enough even of the simple stuff, the will-o'-the-wisp, the rain on a lake, all those goldfish in their plastic baggies at the fair. To them, it must have been as if the world were divided into small, warped dreams, nowhere to get to and nothing to do but swim. You can see, I hope, how Miss Weariness in that poem becomes emblematic. Emblematic of the exhaustion that many of us feel, that Jarrell in his poems of adulthood, of middle age, poems like Next Day, which I may read you if we have time, that theme that Jarrell looks at. What do you do with your days, with your responsibilities, with your practicalities, with what other people expect of you, when your life no longer seems to you to have an organizing principle, a narrative behind it? How do you tell a story about the failure of story? How do you make that instead into a poem? You can see, I hope, how that sense of weariness of life that becomes just one day or one year after another in middle age animates Kaczynski's allegorical figure, Miss Weariness, who does not speak her own poem. She is a she there. Kaczynski speaks for her as if she were too tired to speak. You can see also that the poem takes place at the State Fair, a much more important institution in the Midwest and in parts of the South than it is in most East Coast urban centers. Kaczynski makes herself there a poet of the Midwest, and she also makes herself a poet in Miss Weariness and in her poems in Propria Persona, who looks not dismissively, but sympathetically, but also from a distance, on the sorts of things that delight children. Children are happy, if the State Fair is well run, to pick up a goldfish there. But the goldfish may not be happy, we don't know. Is it better to think of the goldfish as unaware of the conditions of goldfish life, going nowhere trapped in a bag? Or is it better to think of the goldfish as perhaps having a kind of tragic sense, a sort of death of a salesman tragic sense, a sense of insignificance made representative? Are we goldfish? Is it melodramatic to say, I am just like a goldfish? Is it melodramatic? Is it making too much of adulthood to say, I am no longer in a ball gown, I am no longer in a bathing suit, I no longer suit a beatific smile, I am less like those girls than I am like the tired goldfish? I notice also, as I reread this poem, that goldfish are encased by water, and Miss Weariness at the fair in the chair is surrounded by memories of rain. Is it raining always where she is? Is everything stopped short where she is? Is she contained by the occasional rhymes, the repetition that mark this poem? The first two lines end with the word then. Them rhymes with the last word in the poem, swim. And other occasional and interlinear rhymes mark the poem throughout. The baggies at the fair rhyme with nowhere. I'm going to read you, I think, another one of her poems and another one of Jarrell's poems. I will read you one of her shortest poems, another poem of feeling adrift in one's own life, of not knowing what comes next, a poem that also remembers, as many of the poems in her new book, Lilies Without Remember, the death of her father. And it is a poem about watching the seasons change and saying, where do I belong in this? A feeling again, adrift in adult life. And it is a poem also that makes serious lyric out of an experience that most poets we think of as major until recently have not had, the experience of trying to figure out what clothes would look good on your own adult body and ordering them from catalogs. The poem is called Fashion Victim. Too much mist to see the mountain, the freeway lost in fog, the garden a mirage. I order clothes all day from catalogs. A bird flies into a cloud and never flies back out, like a passenger on a doomed flight, raising her glass in a toast to the pilot, to the sky. They arrive in long white boxes, boxes like coffins, of course, and in whispers on the porch, like winter. Soon there will be nothing but obscurity as far as the eye can see, until there's only one leaf left clinging to one tree, until, like my father over there in his chair, my clothes are how you know it's me. You can hear Kosciuszko's internal rhyme there, organizing the poem fitfully as it strives to go forward. And you can hear Kosciuszko trying to figure out whether there's really anything in there, as it were, to organize her inner life. Whether she is too much, whether she in middle age is too much, like her father who is dying in that poem, her father who has perhaps become his clothes, as she is afraid she will become hers. That fear of inner emptiness is one that Jarrell wrote about quite often, and he wrote about it in some of his best-known poems, in a poem called The Player Piano, and in a poem called Next Day. And I'm not going to read you either of those poems. If I have time, I'm going to read you one of my favorite Jarrell poems that no one these days seems to think about or anthologize, and I wish they would start. It is a poem in pentameter stanzas about another woman who feels her body get away from her, who wonders whether she has indeed become a ghost. And the poem is called A Ghost, A Real Ghost. And the woman who may be dead herself, but who may simply be alienated, wonder where she is in her life, she speaks the poem, A Ghost, A Real Ghost, by Randall Jarrell. I think of that old woman in the song who could not know herself without the skirt they cut off while she slept beside a stile. Her dog jumped at the unaccustomed legs and barked till she turned slowly from her gait and went. I never asked them where she went. The child is hopeful and unhappy in a world whose future is his recourse. She kept walking until the skirt grew, cleared her head and dog. Surely I thought so when I laughed. If skirts don't grow, if things could happen so and you not know what you could do, why, what is there you could do? I know now she went nowhere, went to wait in the bare night of the fields, to whisper, I'll sit and wish that it was never so. I see her sitting on the ground and wishing. The wind jumps like a dog against her legs, and she keeps thinking, this is all a dream. Who would cut off a poor old woman's skirt? So good, too. No, it's not so. No one could feel so, really. And yet one might. A ghost must, and she was, perhaps, a ghost. The first night I looked into the mirror and saw the room empty, I could not believe that it was possible to keep existing in such pain. I have existed. Was the old woman dead? What does it matter? Am I dead? A ghost, a real ghost, has no need to die. What is he except a being without access to the universe that he has not yet managed to forget? You can see Jarrell there thinking about how we become something in our adulthood other than what we remember ourselves to be, and you can see him trying to figure out how to represent that something, that vertiginous sense of self-alienation, trying to find a voice that is and is not the story we tell ourselves about our lives that are still in progress, for which no story is finished, to which no story seems to fit. And you can hear, I hope, how Laura Kosciuszko, with her own sense of narrative, picks up on that binary, that sense that we are and are not the stories we tell ourselves about our lives.